It's time for a Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Nobody can ever tell you that you couldn't do it, because you did.
On Giants.com.
You know what I saw? New York Giant Prime.
And the Giants mobile app.
17-14 is the final. One touchdown, we are world champions. Believe it, and it will happen.
Part of the Giants Podcast Network.
Let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. Have some fun.
Well, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. We're one tightly grouped family today on Big Blue Kickoff Live. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, Paul Dottino, the man in the middle, as we do our first, and maybe it's going to be the only. We'll see how that final week before the draft goes. Mock draft, so I figure we take the time today, and we will go up to pick 47, the Giants' second-round pick. So we're going to have to do this pretty quickly. I don't want to spend too much time at the top to introduce everything. I set it up where I think, and it was tough because we're going into the second round, where I tried to get a team with multiple picks all to the same person, so it's not split up.
I noticed
up.
That.
I did my best.
That was very smart.
And we're still at around 15 to 16 picks per guy.
Yeah.
So I think I managed that pretty well. I might have made a mistake along the way. I was doing this like 11 o'clock on Wednesday night. But I did my best. So let's kick it off. And I decided to give myself, because you've heard me do mock drafts, folks, on draft season. I want to give these guys the chance to make the Giants picks, because I've done them before with Tony Pauline on draft season. So I gave myself some of the easier picks. You heard from me a lot on this stuff. I want to hear from Paul and Lance. So I gave myself the first pick in the draft because I think that's a really easy one. And remember, this is predictive, guys, not what you would do. It's predictive. We're trying to figure out what these teams are going
right.
to do. So I believe, and I think I'm not going on a limb here, the Bears will select Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC in the first pick. Look, guys, all the tools, all the traits, you know, checks a lot of the boxes. The Bears have been very into him, and I think that's an easy first pick. Paul, number two for the Commanders. This is when the unknown kicks in this
year. Yeah, but you know what's funny? In recent days, there is this great groundswell that they're taking Jaden Daniels.
I know.
And there hadn't been.
And we, and we've heard this before, though. And then, you know, I remember the Browns with Baker Mayfield week of the
exactly.
draft, and it switches. So,
we'll see. You know, but I'll play with the current tide, and I'll go with Jaden Daniels because that's the most recent kind of wave that's coming our way. So that's where I'll go for Washington.
And by the way, we are doing trades here. So we are going to have the opportunity to make some trades if we like to move down or up. Lance, you're at number three for the New England Patriots.
Well, I've been saying this for weeks. I think the first three teams need quarterbacks. Now, I think maybe the Patriots favor Daniels more so than Drake May, but once again, they traded away Mac Jones. I find it hard to believe that Mayo and company are going to go into this season still with some question marks. So I think they'll take Drake May here with the third overall pick, quarterback out of North Carolina.
If my Raiders at 13 called up and offered you like three first-round picks for this pick, you would still pick the quarterback?
Three first-round picks?
I'd go this year, next year, and the year after.
Yeah, I'd probably make that trade.
You would make that trade?
Yeah, I'd make that trade because, once again, I could see the Patriots, if they like Bo Nix or they like
Michael Penix Jr.
Well,
Paul, would you like to
step
up with the Minnesota Vikings here to make
Possible.
A trade with the Patriots?
Actually, you're going to love this. I actually have a trade in mind that I'm going to make for the Vikings, but it has nothing to do with that pick.
Really?
I do have one.
Okay. So, Lance, I will offer that trade to you. I'm going to be the Raiders. I'm going to offer you three. I don't have control over the Broncos. If I did, I would make the similar trade, but I have
yeah.
control over the Raiders. I'm going to offer you three ones to move up to the Patriots at number three to pick the quarterback.
Yeah, I would do that trade.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Done. Perfect. All right. So, Las Vegas Raiders, and then they will select Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. Lance, that means you're going to slide down to the Patriots at pick number 13, where you're still going to be getting
yep.
a pretty darn good player in that spot. All right, good. Now, I'm with you. I think when the all said and done and it comes on game day that the Patriots will take a quarterback there, but I think these three teams are going to be very aggressive to move up, so I want to make it as realistic as possible. All right, let's go to the Arizona Cardinals at 4. That is me, and guys, my phone's open if anybody wants to move up here and pick a quarterback. Anybody? Any calls? No phone calls? Nothing? All right, then I'm going to take Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver out of Ohio State. And I think, look, they need a wide receiver badly. They did not re-sign Marquise Brown. They basically have their second-round pick, or Caleb Wilson. Caleb Wilson? Who was their fourth-round pick out of Stanford last year? the big receiver. It's Wilson. I forget his first name. Yeah. But he's there. Rondell Moore's there. But no, actually, was Rondell Moore even there? I think he might have left too, right?
I don't even know.
Either way, they need receivers, bottom line. So they're going to take Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. Paul, here comes your Vikings trade.
That's right. That's what I'm doing. I got the Chargers moving down. They're making the deal with the Vikings. They were trading 11 and 23.
And more, probably.
They're also going to give up, I believe what I looked at was they'd have to give up a 3 next year.
I think it's going to be next year's 1.
That's a lot. But you know what?
That's not important.
I'm making the trade. Okay.
So the Chargers then get 11. Right? And they get 23, correct?
Yep.
Okay. I like it.
Because Minnesota is so desperate here.
I'm assuming this is going to be J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. It's
so you're basically you're making a trade with yourself here, just so that everybody understands.
I mean, you have control over both those teams.
So the only person you can really do trades with is himself.
It's just comical that he doesn't even have to necessarily negotiate with anybody.
Well, you know why?
You just agree to the parameters on your own.
Because I thought it would be very easy for me to do that. That's why I didn't trade with the Cardinals, because I could just make the trade right there.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Now we can have a larger discussion here. The Giants, Lance, come up at 6. I think whether or not it's these teams picking these players, I think this is the most realistic scenario the Giants will be staring at on draft day if they don't move up from 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have 4 quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison Jr. off the board. So take us through your thinking here, Lance.
Well, we've been talking about playmaker, and that doesn't change here. They need to score more points. They average just under 16 a game, and I look at the 2 wide receivers on the board in Malik Nabers as well as Romo Dunze as the 2 most attractive pieces. I think a tight end is unnecessary regardless of Waller retiring. If it does come to that, I'd rather take the wide receiver who I think could offer more explosion than a Brock Bowers. So to me, it's relatively simple. I've always been narrowing it down to those 2 guys. Now, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is on the board here, Marvin Harrison Jr. is my pick, but he's not. So therefore, it's the other 2. And Odunze offers the Giants something they don't currently have on the roster in terms of size, in terms of appeal. Whereas Nabers is more of, to me, a guy that you'd line up in the slot, and you got Wandell Robinson. You already have that versatility and speed, though I keep going back and forth because I could see Nabers, to me, is the prototypical Kansas City Chiefs type of fit for Kafka in what he worked with in Kansas City, right? Whether it's a Mecole Hardman or a Tyreek Hill. So I could see if Kafka's in the room, he could very well be campaigning for Nabers. And Brian Daboll comes from Buffalo, where they had the bigger wide receivers, like a Diggs and so forth. So I could see there being a little bit of, I don't want to say division, that may be too strong of a word, but 2 offensive-minded guys campaigning for different individuals. At the end of the day, I'm still going to go with Odunze because I think they're going to look for something different in the room, and that's what he offers compared to Nabers.
I would go Nabers here, but I understand the pick.
I'm very much on the edge.
And I would be fine with both guys. I agree. I think Odunze is a better fit. I just think Nabers is a better player.
Well, he's the athletic, you know, take it the distance. Right. If he gets out in open space, it's hard to pass up on that. I'm with you.
Did you consider here, Lance, at all making a call yourself to the Patriots at 3, where what you're giving up, maybe a 1 and a 2 is not as much as what I would have to give up at 13. Did you consider making a call from the Giants to the Pats to see to go to pick trade up and pick Drake May?
No, I did not consider that because, I mean, once again, I think the Giants have more needs than just grabbing a quarterback right now.
They do. That's
and
true.
Sacrificing other resources to address other areas. So I was not taking that much into consideration under those circumstances.
Paul, your overall thoughts on where Lance landed?
Yeah, for the record, everybody knows since the combine I've been an Odunze guy because of his height, and I've always had a preference for the higher guy. But yes, he does fit the room better because it's a need that they don't have. I will mention one thing to you, John.
Yeah, please.
And I will show this to you after the program. I didn't bring it with me. Do you know that Odunze actually has a better statistical separation per route than Nabers does?
That includes not against man-to-man defense, just against it's zone.
Just against the number that I saw was all the snaps.
Correct. No, that's correct.
And when I saw that, I was like,
But if you look at the separation against man-to-man,
the chart that I saw. Yeah. Did not have that.
No, I'm just letting you know because I did see that and I dug into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Against man-to-man, Nabers is much further along than Odunze is. And so is Harrison.
I figured Harrison would be.
Right.
I think what you have to keep in mind with the Giants is that you also need to know, you know, what they think also they're going to play against. I think a lot of people are going to play a lot of zone against the Giants, to be honest with you, if the weaponry works out. But it's irrelevant. The bottom line was that number did surprise me. I'm glad that you were able to get more info on it.
No, it's a good number, though.
But it was a surprising number.
Well, because that's a big question about Odunze is
based
separation.
On everything we've heard.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the strike against him, at least, Odunze in the eyes of many.
And by the way, he separates. He just doesn't have that. He doesn't create those big gaps of separation. But he's so big and strong, he creates enough separation
right.
where he can make the play.
It's a different style than Neighbors, clearly,
correct.
In terms of getting open. Yeah.
I think it was, is it StatsBomb that came out with that number?
I don't.
Because the other number that they had was degree of separation at the point of the catch, not just pure separation on the routes. And Odunze also had better than Neighbors on that one, too.
Well, that to me, I think, is
but
a reflection of catch
again,
radius, though, I would
I'm
say.
I'm sure it is.
Right?
I mean, I'm sure it is.
Well,
I think
also Odunze goes downfield more. So I think
no
that
question.
Probably gives you an idea where.
Yeah.
Definitely
create,
more of a vertical
you can
guy.
Create more separation downfield.
Neighbors more
than
of a yak guy.
Correct.
No doubt.
All right, let's go to pick number 7 again. I get the easy one. Tennessee Titans, they need offensive tackles. Joe Alt's sitting there. I'm going to give Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans. Dottino, you're up in number 8 here with the Atlanta Falcons. This, to me, is a tough pick because I think they want to go defense here, Paul, and I don't think, at least in my opinion, there's one standout defensive player that's better than all the rest.
Yeah, you know, the problem is I did look up the Atlanta media, and I wanted to see because, remember, we're supposed to be doing what we think they're going to do,
of course,
not what
sure.
we want to do. Mm-hmm. So while I may want to go differently, it seems pretty apparent that the Falcons media thinks they're taking Turner at that point.
And this is Raheem Morris, now the head coach in Atlanta,
yeah.
correct? Yes.
So,
makes sense,
I mean, again, going along your parameters, I have to go Turner here.
Sure. That's, I think that makes sense. And that has been the what I would consider popular pick.
Yes.
And Dallas Turner, guys, by the way, very athletic edge rusher, probably the most athletic
no
one
doubt.
In the class. Not as refined as a Leitu Latu, not as, you know, he doesn't have that, you know, that great bend at the end of the his rush, but he's very productive. His numbers are all pretty darn good.
Shout out to Howard Cross, Roll Tide.
Yeah. All right, now the Bears are thrilled. They get to sit at number 9, and Malik Neighbors is sitting in their lap.
Yeah, well, I think if Neighbors wasn't there, I was prepared to consider Brock Bowers at tight end and team him up with Cole Kmet, and I don't think there's an overlap or too much duplication, but Neighbors is there. I mean, come on. You're going to tell me you're going to pass up on giving Caleb Williams another big weapon to put with the likes of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen? That's a no-brainer. You walk that card up.
Yeah, I would have liked to select Odunze here because I think much like the Giants, Odunze is a better fit.
I thought you had the Bears.
I am. I'm making the pick
now.
Okay. That's what we're doing. Yeah, I would pick Odunze here, Lance, just because I think much like the Giants, you have DJ Moore, who I think is actually pretty similar to Malik Neighbors in the way they play. And Keenan Allen's kind of more that slot guy too.
But Allen's got size at least.
And Allen's also over 30 years old. So
sure. You're not necessarily thinking long term.
Correct. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, if I'm the Bears and I can put Malik Neighbors with Caleb Williams, I'm a Bears fan. I'm going home very, very happy at number 9. Lance, you're up at number 10 with the Jets.
Now, it's interesting because I think the Jets, if Odunze's on the board, they'd consider him. Because remember, they brought in Mike Williams, but Williams is not necessarily the healthiest individual based on his track record in the NFL.
But he had neither of their offensive tackles.
No, 100%. So you look at the Jets, and they brought in, I know, Tyron Smith from the Cowboys, and everybody was saying, well, maybe that doesn't give them the level of urgency. Hello, Tyron Smith hasn't stayed healthy, and Tyron Smith's at the tail end of his career.
He hasn't played more than 13 games in a year, I think, what, 2017 or something
like
that?
It's been quite some time. So, I mean, the guy to me that's appealing here that I would be knocking on the door for, and I'm going to roll Tide again. I'm going to go with J.C. Latham.
Oh, you're going
for the
Latham.
Jets here. Yeah,
interesting.
I mean, I think you've got some versatility there. I think he's got potentially guard and tackle. And I think the Jets can use somebody that is not necessarily plugged into one spot given the injuries up front.
That's interesting. So you're thinking start him off at guard. If Smith gets hurt, you can slide him out to tackle.
Well, very similar to, remember, what did Dallas do?
I know.
Okay, with Tyler Smith. They start him out at guard and then they kicked him out to tackle.
Same thing. And I think another guy, Troy Fautanu, who's another guy here, Lance, who's a multiple position guy that could fit that same type of role. Talese Fuanga, another guy that some people think can play guard. He could kick out a tackle. So that's why you went away from like the Olu Fashanu, because you think he's more of a tackle only, right? You want a guy that can do both?
Yeah, I want a guy. Well, because once again, I'm looking at the Jets' track record with all their injuries.
Makes sense.
I don't think you could go into another season and saying, well, two guys go down, what are you going to do?
No, I like it. I think it makes sense. Paul, you're up with the Chargers here. You traded down. You got the 11th pick from the Vikings.
Yeah, and I'm taking Fautanu, the guy you just mentioned, the offensive line. because obviously they do need to make sure that Justin Herbert is alive and well as he tries to navigate this offense.
Who are the other offensive linemen you were considering here?
Well, I mean, you know who the top guys are, Fashanu, Foritanu. Latham was already gone.
Yes,
I would have thought about Latham.
Yep. Fuanga.
Fuanga. I mean, you know those guys. I mean,
I want to make sure the fans know the guys.
Oh, sorry.
For the fans, sorry. Not for me.
Sorry.
I know the players.
Sorry.
I want to make sure the fans know the players.
But I do like the ability to move with him. He's got multiple position versatility.
That makes sense. All right, Lance, you're up here 12 with the Broncos. They cannot trade up for a quarterback, but they certainly need one.
Well, and this is reminding me of what the Patriots did a few years ago. Remember, they were at 15. Mm-hmm. They didn't move up, and the quarterback fell to them. I think Denver operates the same way here.
But one of the four didn't drop to them here, or at least one of the top four.
Well, no, but I could see the Broncos being interested in somebody beyond the four, I guess,
here
is what I'm getting at.
Well, remember, they don't have a second-round pick either for fans to understand.
Well, because
that.
Of all the moving and dealing that they did. So I would say if you're Sean Payton, okay, and you're looking for a polished quarterback, and a guy that I think could fit what he needs.
I know where
all
you're going.
Eyes to me are turning to Bo Nix.
No
of
doubt.
And that to me is their pick, right?
Very
now.
Rich. Very rich at 12. But I think you
I don't think they have the luxury because of the fact that they don't have
totally
other resources. So
totally
sometimes you have to maybe be a little bit more over aggressive, especially when you need a quarterback.
The other
of all
day,
positions.
Chris Sims did a whole pod on Bo Nix. And said he's his third-rated quarterback and said that Nix is the perfect guy for Sean Payton and that he's just absolutely fits for the Broncos at 12. So it's not totally out of the realm of possibility.
Experienced guy, get rid of the ball quickly. Those are the things that he worked with Drew Brees in New Orleans. That's what I'm thinking.
In my opinion, it's a little rich. But, yes, I totally agree with the fit with the Payton offense. I'm with you on that 100%. All right, Patriots at 13. Lance, you're up again, back-to-back.
Well, this was the trade earlier with respect to Arizona, and here we're talking about
the Raiders.
Yeah. Excuse me, the team that took clearly. Well, you could say the Patriots. They still need a quarterback here because obviously they gave up on the opportunity.
Question.
Yeah. Well, you know, now you're down to Michael Penix Jr. So, do you like him here? But once again, there's a lot of injury baggage. I don't know if I'm New England if I would be content in just settling here. With respect to that, and then
they
you know,
do
they
have
need...
a second round pick for the record.
Correct. So they could wait on that. You could also argue they need an offensive weapon, perhaps, but
they have
maybe...
a lot of needs, Lance.
They do. No. So I'm gonna go back to and Mayo's a defensive minded guy here, and I know New England has that track record. I'm gonna go towards Jared Verse, the defensive end at Florida State, and then finding
Ooh.
Another pass rusher that they could fit into their rotational group. That's, I think, to me, if you're New England here and you make this trade, this is value and not necessarily so much stretching it out for need.
Verse is your traditional classic Patriots-type defensive end. The power guy, doesn't get too far upfield, good, solid player. From Florida State, folks, really a power rusher, not super-duper athletic. Transfer from Albany a couple years ago. So second defensive player are both edge rushers off the board there. To the Patriots at 13. Paulie Dotz, you're up with the Saints at number 14.
How about the fact that Penn State's Fashanu was still there?
I think this
is that incredible?
I think this is an easy one.
Oh, my goodness. How do you not slot him in there?
Fashanu, left tackle, Penn State. Really athletic, not as good in the run game, but the Saints have a big need for offensive line here. They've had some issues keeping that up as they continue to kick the can down the road on their salary cap. They need to add good young talent. Trevor Penning hasn't worked out. They draft Fashanu. Lance, you're up at the Colts here at number 15.
See, I think Indy needs a cornerback, and there's a lot of appealing guys here, but I'll lean towards Terrion Arnold of Alabama as the guy that they turn to. I mean, remember, you got Kool-Aid McKinstry, one of the top guys who also was his teammate, and you have several other guys, but I don't know. There's something about Arnold to me that seems to be a really good fit for what Indianapolis has already in their secondary. So I'll lean towards Arnold here. And he's a quick and athletic guy that I think matches what the Colts have up front in terms of their pass rush.
All right, the Seahawks up here, finally back to me, as we had some trades here, kind of took us a little bit out of order in terms of trying to get everyone in the mix here. I really want to pick Brock Bowers here. I'm not going to lie to you. I just think he's by far the best player left on the board. The Seahawks have spent so much draft capital on weapons. I don't know if that's necessarily the direction they want to go. I think they could use another edge rusher They have Nwosu. They have Boye Mafe. And they drafted Derek Hall last year, but not a ton of guys. They have Leonard Williams and Jaron Reed inside.
They also lost some offensive linemen, too.
They do, but I think they still feel good about Charles Cross and Abraham Lubick's tackle, and I think it's a little too early to pick an interior guy at this spot. I agree with you. They could use an interior offensive lineman, but I don't love any of those guys. You know, they did re-sign Leonard Williams. They have Jaron Reed. I would consider Byron Murphy in this spot as a potential interior pass rusher for them. They have so many. You know what? I'm just going to go with the best player on the board because I can't let him sit there any longer. I'm going to give them Brock Bowers, the tight end, to slot in there.
Well, they love their tight ends. They have about an army of them, and you got a new coach now. So Mike McDonald comes from Baltimore, and they had a plethora of tight ends too, especially when Mark Andrews got hurt. So
I just think he's such a good weapon. It's not a need. I get that, folks. I'm going off the board in terms of need. He's just too good of a player. I can't pass.
Well, you put Bowers with the two wide receivers on the outside.
Three? They have Metcalf.
No, that's true.
Lockett.
They got Jackson and Jigba. And yes, Jigba. Correct. Yeah, exactly.
That's a heck of a group of weapons.
Yeah, for Geno.
But you told me the parameter was what we think they're going to do, not what you want to do.
I think if Brock Bowers, yeah, I think they would take him.
Okay,
that's
fine.
He's that much higher grade than everyone else on the board.
And I could understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuaga's going to the Jaguars because they need to make sure Trevor Lawrence is alive and healthy as well. We have so many of these teams that need to protect their quarterbacks, and we've known for a long time that the tackles and offensive line are going to be plenty taken in this first round.
100%. Think it's a good pick. Right tackle, he'll be able to slide in there for the Jaguars, who have guys under contract to tackle, but Cam Robinson done the last year of his deal, and they could certainly use some help in that spot. That's one of the three major needs I have for the Jaguars, Paul. Good pick. Lance, you're for the Bengals here, number 18.
Now, Cincy, you could argue, could go offensive line here because, you know, you want to obviously prioritize protecting Joe Burrow with him coming off an injury.
They brought in Dwayne Brown, right? Or Trent Brown?
Yes, Trent Brown. From New England.
He's older, only on a one-year deal. So,
but I mean, once again, a number of those tackles were taken already. I mean, to me, I think you're at the point where maybe you would be. I mean, Mims is there, who is a monster. So, I mean, I probably consider him. I guess it's weighing Mims versus do they also need help on the defensive side of the ball, given some of the guys that they lost up front. Given Burrow's injury track record, I'd probably push more towards Amarius Mims out of Georgia just because the guy is, once again, a humongous presence, and I'd feel comfortable having him protect Burrow under those circumstances.
I agree. I think that's a good pick. All right, I'm up for the Rams here, and my basically thing with the Rams is that just pick the best defensive player. Who's the best defensive player on the board? That's what they need. And for me, as much as I would trend to pick the guy up front versus the corner, I think Quinion Mitchell is too good of a player here for me to pass up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rams have a need at cornerback, so I'm going to go Quinion Mitchell to the Rams here at 19, though. The Byron Murphy slide right into Aaron Donald's spot as a three-technique defensive tackle. I like that idea, too.
I know.
But I think Mitchell's
a
better player.
But I thought you'd go Mitchell,
too.
So
I'm going to go Mitchell here.
Yeah. This one's easy for me. I got the Steelers now at 20. And I know how badly they got to take a receiver. So Brian Thomas is coming off the board for me here.
I thought you might go interior offensive line there.
No, I'm going Thomas.
They
got some bodies. They may not have answers, but they have some bodies on the offensive line.
They traded Deontay Johnson in the offseason. Now him and Pickens out there on the outside, two big vertical targets at wide receiver. So that'll be a fun thing to watch. All right, Lance, you're up with the Dolphins here at 21.
Well, the Dolphins, they could go interior offensive line, but they did bring in Aaron Brewer, and they gave him a three-year contract because, I mean, part of me was thinking maybe they go center here in Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. I was considering that, but once again, Brewer, three-year contract. Unless they think Brewer could maybe move to guard, which he can because he did play in that position, I'd consider that. But also, you know, Miami's got a new defensive coordinator. They've had some guys banged up. It's a risk because of the injury baggage, but I'm going to go with Laiatu Latu, the defensive end out of UCLA.
Like it. That's a good pick. Yeah, right. They had the injuries late last year. Jalen Phillips had the injury.
All
edge rusher, so they definitely need help there. All right, Eagles up at 22, and I'm putting my Howie Roseman hat on here. And I know I need a cornerback, and that's where I automatically lean. But the Eagles just don't like picking corners in the first round. It's not what they do generally.
Mm-hmm.
They like picking big people. And I think Lane Johnson's nearing the end of his career. They like picking big athletic guys with upside. And they have the luxury of drafting a Marius Mims with only 8 games started in college and not asking him to start right away.
Well, remember, I took him already. I took him.
No? Oh, you took Mims? I took Mims. I didn't cross him off. I'm sorry. You took him with the Bengals. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Take Guyton if you want.
No, yeah. That's my bad. Yeah. No, then I will go corner then. I have gotten a little bit lower on my board.
Okay.
Personally, so I'm going to go, and the Eagles need help. I think it's some safety too. So I'm going to take a versatile guy here that can play both. I'm going to take Cooper DeJean out of Iowa that can kind of be that, you know, versatile corner safety player for the Philadelphia Eagles, who I think a bigger player. They play a lot of zone there. I think that would be a nice little selection for them at 22. So I will go Cooper DeJean. But obviously, if one of those big offensive tackles are there, that's the direction I would have went. Anyway, let's go to the Chargers at 23 with Paul Dottino. Paul.
Yeah,
This is the second pick you got from the Vikings in the trade, by
correct. Way. I wrestled with this with the best player on the board as opposed to somebody who some folks are really a lot higher than I am, but I'm thinking that they got to get some help in the secondary. So I'm going to go Wiggins here, which I think is a little high for me. I wrestled with the fact that I might take Newton inside, but I decided I'm going to go Wiggins.
Jerzon Newton, the defensive tackle out of Illinois.
Yes. Okay. That's what I thought about. That was a definite consideration.
All right, Lance, you're up for the Cowboys at 24. Big need on the offensive line, but
well,
you have good
they're
choices
be
at
smiling
tackle
here.
And center.
Well, I mean, they're going to love this. Jackson Powers Johnson is sitting there, and they lost Tyler Biadasz in free agency. And remember, Travis Frederick before him retired prematurely because of issues. So I say they take the center out of Oregon. They team him up with Dak Prescott. And they're content with him being the anchor on the offensive line.
Any thought of Graham Barton here at a Duke?
I mean, to me, once again, it's too appealing. The center is... people talk about tackles.
Well, a lot of people think Barton is going to play center in the NFL.
No, and I get that, but I'd feel more comfortable. If I'm going to use a first-round pick, okay, I'm going to use it on a guy that is proven at that position, prominent program, good competition in terms of what he faced when he played for Oregon. I want to make sure that there is some substance behind what I'm throwing in, as opposed to your point about there's potential for him to slide in there. Totally. Plus, you got a veteran quarterback. You don't have a young guy where you say you're going to groom those two guys together. There, to me, is more urgency to find that proven commodity up front.
I have Powers Johnson ahead of Barton on my board as well, so I'm with you on that. All right, pick 25 to the Packers. That goes to me. Remember, David Bakhtiari no longer there. They need an offensive tackle in the worst way, so I'm going to give him Tyler Guyton. A little bit raw, unbelievable athlete. I think he'll slide right in. I'm going to go Tyler Guyton to the Packers at 25. As let me count it here just so I have it right. In terms of total offensive linemen by pick 25 off the board, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I count 8 offensive linemen have been taken. Almost a third of the selections through the first 25 picks have been offensive linemen, which I think is really, really interesting and not surprising given the strength of this draft class. Paul, look at you scrambling, so I tried to buy a little bit of time here. We got the Bucks at pick number 26.
Actually, I knew who I wanted here. I'm already looking a couple of picks ahead.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Okay.
As the Bucks pick right there. They really need help at corner.
And quite frankly,
he's a competent value pick there, I think, at the end of this round.
They traded Carlton Davis in the offseason, so they need some help there. Lance, I am up. I'm sorry.
One of the best names in football, by the way, too.
So now we're up with the Arizona Cardinals. I was fortunate enough to get Marvin Harrison Jr. with my first pick. And I'm going to go – they need pass rushers here, and Chop Robinson's still on the board, the unbelievably freakish athletic pass rusher on the edge. So I'm going to give them – remember, the Cardinals are still building here, and I think they're going to value high upside picks, and that's Chop Robinson. I'm going to give him Chop Robinson, defensive end, slash outside linebacker out of Penn State.
You know, that was a consideration for me for the Bucs. It really was, but I was much more sold on going to the corner.
Lance, Buffalo Bills, and we know what they have a need for.
Well, they have needs, I would say, in a lot of places. I mean, corner to me is the one that is staring at me. I mean, they also obviously have moved around the safeties, but I mean, corner, they were banged up last season.
How about wide receiver, Lance?
Well, wide receiver too. But I guess the question is...
they lost both their starters.
Sure,
last year.
But do you look at it as because there's depth at that position, you can wait a little bit?
That's a fair point.
That's, I guess, where I'm going with respect to the wide receiver.
Not sure if there's a corner left, though, that's worth the price.
Well, I mean, because Paul took Brian Thomas, so right. I would have considered him, right? Okay. Then you mentioned, well, there is one corner that I would take into consideration.
There's a receiver there, too, if you want, who's probably in this neighborhood, too.
What corner would you consider in this?
Well, the corner was going to be Lassiter. Out of me, Georgia.
For me, that's a little bit early.
I think it's high for me, too.
But that's fine. If you like him, go for it.
I mean, that's... Well, who was the wide receiver that you were thinking
A.D. Mitchell, I think, would be the guy, right?
I'm thinking the Texas kid who's climbing up the charts, Worthy.
Oh, you like the speed guy, Xavier Worthy.
Oh, Xavier Worthy. Okay.
I'm thinking right now, the way he's getting a lot
of
heat.
I like his teammate.
Yeah.
Better.
And I understand. I think Mitchell's probably a better all-around player.
Right.
But Worthy is getting so much heat off of his time.
He is, I know.
That people are saying he's going to be late first round.
Be careful. Guys that run sub 4.3 do not have a great record of success in the National Football
Tell
League.
Me about it.
Yeah, to me, I don't know if there's an overall separation in my mind between all those guys.
No, that's fair.
So I would be more content if I'm the Bills waiting as opposed to reaching. I think that Lassiter can be a solid cover corner. And remember, you're in a division where you're going up against Aaron Rodgers and you're going up against Tua Tagovailoa and New England. I know we traded out of that spot, but in reality, it may not play out this way. You need somebody that you put out on the edge and cover. So my pick's going to be Lassiter
out
of Georgia.
Kamari Lassiter, Buffalo Bills at 28. Detroit Lions at 29. All right, I'm going to start. Or Lance, do you want to start making calls from the Patriots here at 34 to move up for your quarterback? Or are you going to sit there and you're going to
win? Listen, they waited for Mac Jones. We preach patience in the New England organization.
Okay.
Remember, you do your job and you do your job patiently. You don't do your job quickly and make mistakes, John.
Fair enough. All right, let's Carolina Panthers, Lance at, I'm sorry, not Panthers, Lions at 29.
He's so obsessed with calling me that now he's just giving me extra
the
picks.
The Lions at 29 with Paul Dottino. Lions.
See,
Paul,
again,
29.
Another reference to me.
Yeah.
There we go,
you know,
for those
you know,
of you counting
I thought the corner who was here was Rakestraw.
Oh,
not Lassiter.
Rakestraw is a good player.
No, yeah. Rakestraw.
So that's who I'm going with, Detroit. I was afraid you were going to scap him up.
Lots of corners here.
No, well, the Lions, I'm with you. They need a corner. So
I know.
I just.
I really thought to me that Rakestraw was a little higher. Some people value him a lot higher than others. There seems to be quite a mix on
seven
him.
Cornerbacks in the first round so far. It's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. All right, I like it. And it's Rakestraw. He's from Missouri.
Yeah.
Plays inside, plays outside.
Yep.
Didn't run great. But he's a feisty little player. Ravens at 30. Lance, this one actually is to you.
Okay, so we're accurate in terms
of... Ravens 30, Lance.
Well, Baltimore prides itself on the big boys up front. And to me, the guy that's sitting there that I think they'll attack is Chris Jenkins, defensive tackle out of Michigan.
Over Byron Murphy.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh. Because, you know, I mean, remember... The Mike McDonald change is not necessarily going to completely revamp their defense, but Jenkins to me, okay, the one thing that gets overlooked about his play, I think there's more meat on that bone. I would not get caught up in just because he didn't have big pass rush numbers. I think what he does to open things up for other players and what he could do more in that Baltimore defense makes him that much more appealing. So that's why I like Jenkins.
Oh, this kills me. I have to draft Byron Murphy to the 49ers.
Oh, no.
I have no choice.
Oh, my goodness. Do we really need to let that happen?
They lose Arik Armstead. I can't believe he's still there. They lose Arik Armstead, right? They bring in Malik Collins.
Wow.
But that, to me, is a short-term addition. I'm going to have to give him Byron Murphy here. To me, he's by far. I'm going to take another look at my board here to make sure there's no one else higher on my overall draft board that I think is better than him. But if I look at my horizontal board here, those guys are all taken. They're all taken. Murphy. Yeah, Murphy is by far the highest graded guy left on my board. So I'm going to give the 49ers Byron Murphy out of University of Texas at pick number 31. Dottino, pick number 32, Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, I'm going to defer and let Lance pronounce this guy's name because we talked about him from BYU the other day.
You're talking about
Kingsley.
Duamataia.
Yes.
There you go. Kingsley S.
Kingsley.
That's my guy.
There, okay. Gotcha.
You practiced that one all week.
I practiced that
He told our BYU guest, John.
Yeah, I was in here listening.
Yeah, he was all over it, so that's where I'm going.
Suamataia, guy, he's played both right tackle and left tackle.
Yep, and he's a big boy.
He's a big, physical guy that's a little bit raw, but boy, he's nasty, and he's a good kid. Penei Sewell's cousin, and it's a, you know, good player out of BYU. All right, so now, Lance, you're off for the Panthers at 33.
Okay, so Carolina... Let me see. Because I did not make Carolina's earlier pick.
There was no Carolina.
There was no. That's right.
The Bryce Young trade.
That's right. They did. I forgot about that. Yep. Okay. So this is the first opportunity for the Panthers to help out their quarterback here. But once again, we're talking about we had a run. We had two runs. We've had runs on offensive linemen, and we've had runs on cornerback here. So as far as the Panthers are concerned, you know, they don't necessarily have to reach here. But, you know, there is one guy that's out there that I think is maybe interesting, who can help them up front, and that's Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, the offensive tackle. So I'm going to lean towards him here, because if you go through another season where you leave Bryce Young in that scenario, you're asking for trouble. And something tells me that Carolina does not want to go through the same thing they did, which cost essentially their head coach's job. So Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle out of Arizona.
Did you think about a wide receiver there, Lance?
I just... To me, Carolina is not in the position right now where they could talk about toys. They've got to talk about getting...
That's not toys. Bryce Young's got to throw it to somebody.
Yeah, but they got to get that emerald glue out, and they have to just let it harden. Because if he takes as many hits as he did last season...
It's not good.
John, I don't care how many toys you dangle out on the other end. I've got to prioritize the offensive line here.
I get it.
Especially since, once again, you did not have a first-round pick.
Jordan Morgan to the Panthers, and then Lance, you're up again with the Patriots.
Well, for New England... I went defense because I took Verse on the first go-around. So as far as where I would go the second go-around here, you know, New England could go wide receiver because they need playmakers. But, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Can you wait? Do you reach here? These wide receivers, I don't know, maybe it's me, but when you get to this bunch, I don't know if anybody separates, in my opinion, there. So, I mean, it gets tougher and tougher here in terms of where I want to go for New England, because I'm looking at all the appealing names who were clearly taken off the board. Mitchell is still out there, right? The wide receiver?
Yes, he is.
So I'll go Texas wide receiver for Mitchell.
Adonai Mitchell. I know people have shortened it to AD.
AD,
Mitchell. Yeah.
AD.
I'll go with AD Mitchell.
All right, Cardinals,
I just think
here,
he's the best guy on the board.
At 35, they took Marvin Harrison Jr. earlier in this draft. So they're set there. They also select Chop Robinson. So I'm going to go, again, I think you're just stacking talented guys here. So I'm going to go Graham Barton, the versatile offensive lineman out of Duke. He played left tackle at Duke. A lot of people think he's going to be a guard. I don't think he's quite strong enough to play guard in the NFL yet, but I think he's perfect fit for center. So I'm going to give Graham Barton to the Cardinals at 35. And I'm leaving this draft in the first 35 picks with Marvin Harrison Jr., Chop Robinson and Graham Barton. I'm going home very, 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 very happy. Let's go to the Washington Commanders at pick number 36. Paul, you gave them Jaden Daniels with the second overall pick. You are up again.
Yeah, and now after what's happened with their defensive line and how they had to ravage that over the years, over the last year with the deals and salary cap moves, Jozan Newton is a really good pick here for me, for them. And I think he can give them some stoutness there.
But that's the one position where they kept their guys.
I'm liking him.
Okay. No, he's not. I think
from a value
perspective, he's probably the highest graded player.
And that, you know what they say? You can never have enough guys in the trenches.
No argument.
The value's too good.
Nope. I totally get where you're coming from on that. Paul, you're back-to-back. You're up for the Chargers once again. And you made two picks with the Chargers early. You picked cornerback Nate Wiggins, and you picked offensive tackle Troy Fautanu. Remember, the Chargers did lose their two starting wide receivers.
Yeah, that's why Worthy's a good pick here.
And Mike Williams.
So
the other Texas receiver.
The other Texas, So Mitchell's teammate.
Would you consider selecting former Jim Harbaugh wide receiver Roman Wilson in the spot, with given the Michigan ties?
I think I probably would, but I think they're going to be looking for the deeper threat.
Okay.
They want Wilson, Worthy because of the speed. And, that's where I'm going to go.
All right, I'm up next year with the Tennessee Titans. Let me bring up their depth chart here. I do have their needs written down, obviously. They picked Joe Alt with their first-round pick. If you take a look at their needs, I got to slide up here and take a look at the Titans. They still need an edge player. They need a defensive lineman. They've lost some players on that side of the ball. If you take a look at their depth chart, they have lost a significant number of players. They have a couple. They have some good wide receivers. That's the one place they don't have to go. They've improved their offensive line. Could I see them going guard here? It would not shock me, but I think two offensive line with first two picks, I think that's asking a lot. But really, they have Harold Landry, and then their other edge rusher is Arden Key. You know, they have Jeffrey Simmons. So I could see them going defensive line. If Newton was here, Paul, I think that would be a good pick for them.
Value's great for him.
In this particular spot. But instead, I am going to go to a school that we've had at least one pick from, maybe two, in this draft. I am going to go with versatile defensive lineman Darius Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's one of the best, highest graded players left. He can. I think he's a 4-3 defense, you know, bigger defensive end. I think he'll play that 5 technique a little bit in their 3-4 scheme. So I think you check both those boxes. So I am going to go with Darius Robinson out of the University of Missouri.
Believe it or not, I actually thought about him just about 5 or 6 picks earlier with Detroit when I went with the corner.
That would have been a good pick there.
I thought about him there, and I went for the corner instead.
All right, Lance, now we have the Panthers. This is the pick that they got from the Giants in the Brian Burns trade. So you are up for the second Panthers selection.
And I went offensive line with the first pick, and I'm still prioritizing the offense because, as you mentioned, he does need targets, and I think this could be a good big target, and that's Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State, who I'll take here with this pick. So you solidified up front, and now you give Bryce Young a big catch radius down the field.
Did you consider like a Ladd McConkey here or something like that as more of a route runner, or you like having the big body?
I like the big body because, I mean, once again, I'm thinking also for the sake of Bryce Young, if the offensive line doesn't pan out, I'd rather him throw it up, keep his fingers crossed, and have a guy that can make some plays. That, to me, is a valuable resource.
Totally get it. Pick 40, Paul. Washington Commanders, you are up. You've made two selections for them already.
It says you're up.
Okay, well, but you made the first two picks for the Commanders, so take this pick.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is the one I screwed up. See, I told you I messed up one where I didn't give the same team the three. Same person.
I was not prepared.
Well, let's talk through it. You picked Jaden Daniels and Jerzan Newton, right?
Yes.
So let's take a look at who we think some of the top players on the board that are left that you like, Paul.
Well, I tell you what. Boy, Tyler Newbin is sitting there, ain't he?
Yeah, I'm not a huge safety guy this early in the draft.
Well, we're in the middle of the second round, aren't we?
Yeah. Would you think of maybe a guard here to help your offensive line or a tackle for that matter to help your offensive line in front of Jaden Daniels, Roger Rosengarten, a Patrick Paul, perhaps, Cooper Beebe, who I think is a really good offensive guard.
Nah, you know what?
Christian Haynes,
I'm gonna stick to Newbin. I want to stick to the safety, John. I'm sorry, I got to do it because I don't like their secondary.
Well, that's been a problem area for them.
It's been a problem forever.
You don't want to give your quarterback a little bit of help?
You could also consider corner too, as well.
Somebody want to trade for the pick?
So there isn't an offensive.
Well, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. When's your next pick? You could trade with yourself.
Oh, that's a good point. All right, hold on.
You're still going to have to make the pick, though, at the end of the day, so it doesn't matter.
My next pick is Atlanta at 43.
You know who likes trading up is the Saints at 45.
Wait, so give Atlanta the pick and then put on the hat for the Falcons general manager, and maybe a need becomes more apparent.
Yeah, well, you know
and
what?
And just
if
avoid
I do
the
that,
inevitable for Washington.
If I do that, I could take Austin Booker for Atlanta.
The defensive end?
Yeah.
You can do that if you want. That would be two pass rushers then.
Let me do that.
Okay.
All right, so we have a trade. The Commanders swapping with the Falcons.
So 43 and
40.
40.
That'd be like a fourth round pick probably moving in that trade, I would think. Really?
Whatever it takes.
Oh, Austin Booker, huh? Interesting. Okay. Austin Booker out of the University of Kansas. Just 1 year of production for Booker. A little undersized, but a good athlete. Did not test as well as people thought would at the combine. But good player. Really good higher motor. All right. Back to me for the Packers here, pick number 41. I gave him the offensive tackle with their first pick. The Packers do have a bunch of needs. Still, I could think they could use another guard. They could use a linebacker. They could use a corner. So you know what? I'm going to take the first linebacker off the board here, Lance. I think they could use one. I'm going to give him Peyton Wilson out of NC State.
Mm-hmm.
He has a lot of injury issues, but boy, when he plays, he is a good football player. So I'm going to give them Peyton Wilson here out of NC State to the Green Bay Packers.
So the Houston Texans, who have refined their defense, and to me there's a very attractive option because I like their edge guys. I also like their secondary. I think they could look for more meat inside. I'm going to take Braden Fisk out of Florida State.
I thought maybe you're going really meaty. I think you're going to go a little Tavondre Sweat action there. Really
that's another good one. But, I mean, Fisk to me, he just seems like a D'Amico Ryans type of guy.
I agree.
So I'm looking at it from that standpoint.
What'd you take?
Your boy, Braden Fisk.
Fisk.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Well, Washington already picked the tackles. They probably wouldn't have selected Fisk anyway.
No.
Paul's back on the clock here.
No, they wouldn't have, but I mean, I do like him as well.
Now, are we going to go Tyler Newbin here, Paul?
Yes, I would like to do that.
Okay.
We're going to go a little lower than we had originally.
So we basically, once again, we gave you the preview of what was yet to come.
Yes.
Essentially. He just,
wasn't
a better fit
forever,
for Washington instead of Atlanta.
You know, since the days of Sean Taylor, they have not had really good safety play.
No, I'm with you. It's been an issue. Listen, it's been a merry-go-round and not a good one.
Why do you think they signed Landon Collins and overpaid him a few years ago? Yeah. They were desperate.
Well, even corner's been a problem area for Washington, too, over the last few years.
Okay. Yeah, it's not often that people say to me, get loud.
We're not telling you to get loud. We're talking you to talk into the microphone and not lean away from it. Yes, that's correct. Los Angeles.
He was just basically showing you the gaps in the Washington back end of the defense by not being in the mic. That was right. Really the true rationale.
This is my final pick. They're all going to kind of make that Giants pick at 47 together. The Raiders at 44, they traded up a lot of their future draft capital to get your quarterback late. Look, they already have pretty good weapons, right? They have Jacoby Myers. They have Devontae Adams. I think they're feeling pretty good about their weapons outside. So I don't think that is necessarily a need here. They did lose a number of their offensive linemen in free agency, including Jermaine Illuminor, to the New York Football Giants. So I think they could use an offensive tackle here to play across from Colton Miller. I'm not a Thayer Munford believer at tackle. I think he's more suited at guard. So you know who was a starting right tackle and a darn good one at Washington this year? Roger Rosengarten. So I'm going to give Roger Rosengarten to the Raiders here with their selection to slide right in there to protect their quarterback, Drake May. So Roger Rosengarten from Washington, the right tackle to the Raiders at pick number 4.
Patrick Paul didn't do anything for you.
I like Rosengarten better.
Okay.
Patrick Paul just does not have enough. He's so tall. He doesn't have a lot of power to me, and he's almost too tall for me.
And that's fine.
Every time I hear that, I think of Henry Rowengarden from the Cubs film, you know, Rookie of the Year. No, when you say the offensive line, I don't know, that name just pops into my head. I guess I'm the only person that continues to think about that.
I do not remember the character.
That was the character.
Yes.
You know, where he breaks his arm and gets called up to the Cubs? You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
Oh, that was the name of the kid pitcher in the thing?
Yeah, Henry Rowengarden. Gotcha. So when you say the offensive lineman, that's who I think of every time.
I know the character. Yeah. I forgot that was the character's name.
All right,
I was not a big fan of that movie.
I wouldn't put that in the top baseball films. No, I would agree with you.
I agree.
Mean, it's a good watch, but it's not one of those, like, I got to sit down
and
watch it again.
Fine for little kids.
Correct.
But then it gets a little more.
Yes.
Absolutely. Saints are up, and that means me, right, John, if I'm reading this correctly?
Yes, you can read lines correctly.
Yeah, well, Ladd McConkey is there, and I think they got to get a receiver, and I think that's a good fit.
All right, I think I picked the Saints pick in the first round, right? Or did I not? No, you did. That's just correct. I actually did that right. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Ladd McConkey to the Saints. Perfect. All right, good. All right, I think he's the next best wide receiver on the board. I think that's a good pick. All right, Lance, you're back up with the Indianapolis Colts.
Indy, I gave them Arnold in the first round. So the Colts, I mean, I like their weaponry. They just invested in Michael Pittman Jr. You have size in the receiving core. Anthony Richardson hopefully comes back healthy. I don't know if they're screaming, we need another elusive offensive weapon. So once again, to me, the Colts, I think they're in a position where they could prioritize the defensive side of the ball. And I don't want to necessarily give them another corner because I think that's a little too much duplication. So I could see them maybe looking at the middle of their defense here. And one of the individuals that to me jumps out is Chris Braswell. Linebacker Alabama here.
How about that?
I like that pick.
Yeah.
He's a second-round defensive edge rusher for me. I think that's fine.
And he could be, you know, once again, somebody that helps the pass rush off the edge too.
All right. Now, the Giants are sitting here at 47. I'm happy. Pearson, we've done really well here. We've got 10 minutes to go with this pick, so we got a long time to talk about
this pick. That's amazing. How did we do that?
I don't know, but
we moved.
I know. We moved.
Usually takes an hour and a half.
We did a really nice job with this. Giants at 47. So taking a look, let's start with the needs before we start talking about players here, guys. They got the wide receiver in the first round.
Yep.
I immediately look at corner here.
I don't think there's any doubt.
As a potential spot.
I'm with
you. I look at defensive tackle as a potential spot, if you like a three technique in the spot. But Braden Fisk already off the board is one of the guys I think we would talk about in this spot. What are some of the other needs you guys, would you start thinking about a running back here? What would you guys start considering?
A corner is screaming at me. And there's one guy in particular that I think would be very appealing. for the Giants.
There's probably three or four corners you could make a case for in terms of value at this spot.
Yeah, so, I mean, corner...
So it's preference.
Corner, to me, fits need and good value.
Absolutely,
I think they
agree.
Match up very nicely here.
It's all a matter of which one now, because
it's the flavor of the ice cream here.
I think with three or four possible value corners at this spot, I don't know that we could really make a good argument for another position. I just don't know.
I'm looking at other guys here. I don't think I would pick. I like Rook Ororo out of Clemson, but I like him more bottom of the second round than mid second round.
You have some interior defensive linemen that you could consider, but I think corner's better value.
Yeah, I think it's
terms of who's still on the board.
I think for the Dorless, Wingo, Hall, and Mason Smith, I think it's a little bit rich for me. They just signed Jordan Phillips, by the way, who I think that takes Tavondre Sweat off of the board. He's more of your nose tackle type. So I don't think...
Well, that was the other guy that I was
I don't think you're
there.
in the mix now for a one technique, because you already have Dexter Lawrence and Jordan Phillips and... Jordan Riley, who's also a massive human being. So I don't think you're in the business for like a really big, you know, run-stuffing defensive tackle type. I'm more of a wait until the third round for the running back type of guy. I know you took a wide receiver in the first round, but boy.
I know. Boy, there's some value there.
Our guy Troy Franklin.
I know.
Is sitting there. Ricky Pearsall sitting there.
Leggett is there, too.
I liked all those guys. But again, you have Wanda Robinson out, Jalen Hyatt down.
That's the thing.
Neighbors. I don't think you could pick a wide receiver here. None of the tight ends, to me. I really like Ben Sinnott. I think this is a little bit rich for me.
Too
I would
high.
Do end of the second round, but not mid-second round. Would you – you know what? He would be my argument. Would you consider Cooper Beebe in this spot? As opposed to corner.
I would consider him.
In terms of quality of player, he's a guy that I have an all-day, I feel great about it, safe second-round grade on.
Very, very good value.
So
there.
That would be the guy. Oh, wait a second. Time out. Let me just double-check to make sure this player hasn't been taken before I forget about it, because this brings a whole other different conversation into it.
Well, I'm not taking Penix, if that's what you're saying.
Lance, would you consider taking Michael Penix?
Oh, God.
Shut up.
Okay, I didn't know it was going to
be Derek. Because I don't know your answer is, but I know what his answer is, would be.
I, once again, there's too good a value at other positions, so my answer would be no.
I would seriously, and look, I have my concerns about some of Penix's stuff, and his injury stuff is a concern, but as a second-round guy that I think has high upside talent with his arm strength and all that stuff, I think this is where he's graded for me. So I think he's a second-round player. I think this is where he would be a good pick. I know we have callers at home screaming right now, oh, my God, pick the quarterback, which is why I wanted to bring it up.
Of course you did.
Well,
honestly.
Plus you wanted to stab me in the side, too.
No, I'm not. This is called having a conversation about the pick. I think if I was the one making this pick right now, understanding I don't know about the medicals, so I'm pushing that aside. Assuming he checks out medically, I would deeply consider taking Michael Penix Jr. with this spot. Because no one else on my board sticks out like a sore thumb. So I have the opportunity to put another person that I think can develop into a really good quarterback into that quarterback room. I have trouble passing on that player.
I just, to me, once again, the injury baggage scares me, because here's the thing.
And again, we don't know about
second
that,
round
folks.
Pick.
That's the one thing with draft picks. We don't know about the medical report. So.
Well, but it's more of, it's not so much what they see. It's a matter of what's occurred already in his college career.
Sure.
That you're banking on now. It's going to follow a different trajectory. And the other thing is, a second round pick is extremely valuable. I'm with you, John. There's potential, but it's also possible that you've got Daniel Jones coming back, and you brought in a veteran quarterback that, you know, does he ever see the field in the immediacy if he can't stay healthy? I mean, you could very well be sacrificing the value of that pick simply based on potential.
Paul, if I told you I could get Ronnie Barnes to step into this room right now and tell you, we feel great about the medicals, don't worry about it.
No. Penix is off my board entirely. I'm sorry.
For non-medical reasons?
Oh, I don't like him as a quarterback, never mind just the medicals.
Why not?
The medicals are easy enough.
He's your classic dropback quarterback with a big arm. He checks every box for you.
And he does not check every box. He's not. His frame is not big enough for me.
I have a problem. He's 220 pounds.
No. How tall is he? He's not tall enough.
He's not tall enough.
He's not tall enough.
Isn't he 6'3"?
No, I don't think so. I'll have to check on it. What did I? You know what? Hold on.
I don't see
hold
anything.
Hold
they
on,
list,
on.
Yeah, they list Penix at 6'3".
Hold on. Hold
that's
on.
Who they
I'll
list
give
him.
You.
I mean,
you,
6'3"
I'll
to
give
me.
You
yes.
Specifics
please.
On him.
Please.
I haven't even talked about Penix because he's already wiped off my board.
Talk into the mic.
So let me.
Well, he can't when he bends
down. No, I can't when I bend down. Hold on. Hold on.
See, Pierce.
Quite difficult to do that.
This is why we needed 10 minutes for this.
Under the circumstances.
Correct.
Hold on. Hold on. I got my notes here.
And again, I have my issues with Penix. I wouldn't take him in the first round, but I think this is where he belongs.
No, and I'm with you. I'd consider him. I'm not disputing that.
All right. Three key words I had negatives on Penix. Injuries, touch and accuracy I do not like, and I think he also gets rattled. He didn't get rattled a lot behind Washington's line because Washington had the Joe Moore line.
I agree.
They had the best line in college football.
I don't think. Okay? I think pressure gets to him. He's not a good off-platform thrower, and his accuracy can break down in those situations. But that's why he's not a first-round pick to me.
Okay. Combine those things with his injury history, he's out for me. He's out for me.
Okay.
I'm taking TJ Tampa. That's what I'm doing.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting. I have TJ Tampa as a third round player. So now
that's okay.
So now let's talk about the corners. Paul's a Tampa guy. Lance, who are the cornerbacks you would take a look at in this spot?
Well, the guy that I really like is Cam Hart from Notre Dame.
Interesting.
That's okay. The guy that I had been eyeing prior to us going through this whole dissertation on 75 other players. Cam Hart's there. He did a really nice job on Marvin Harrison Jr., if you remember, in college when they went mano a mano. We've got a young nucleus of corners on the roster here with the Giants, and I think there is a place for a guy to be drafted, immediately get on the field. He comes from a good program, well-coached. I like all of the intangibles. To me, Cam Hart's the pick.
I have three corners here with second-round grades left on my board. I have Mike Sansra still from Michigan.
Understood.
Who I think is a really good player, but he's slot only. Yep. So take that in consideration, sure. But I think he's a really good football player. Giants need a slot corner. I have Renardo Green out of Florida State, who I think is a really good cover player, but I think he's more of a press man corner, which they did a lot of Florida State last year, which is not as much of what the Giants are going to do this year. And then Max Melton out of Rutgers, I have a second round grade on, but if I would take my highest grade at corner, it would be Sansra Still out of Michigan. That would be my pick here. So now I put on the sheet. You guys can decide. You guys need to work it out between each other which corner you want the Giants to take, and I'll leave you to it. You have my take. I would go Mike Sansra still here, but you guys can make the decision.
Okay, here's what I'll give you on Hart, and you can digest
sure.
it. All
okay.
right. I wrote down I like
now,
this
Hart
length.
And Tampa, by the way, both two bigger-bodied, long corners.
And
so
you know that's what I like.
They are in the similar class.
You know that's my style.
Right.
So it shouldn't surprise you that I do like things about him. For Hart, I had length. Good mirror skills, and he's a good tackler. The negatives that I saw were ball skills, his ability to close, and he gets grabby. Those were the things about him. Now, for TJ Tampa, I liked his length, his quicks, and his ball skills. I thought he was too much of a gambler, doesn't wrap up real well on tackles, and doesn't necessarily have a second gear. That's what I saw on the cutups.
Yeah. I mean, I would be a little bit more concerned with your negatives for Tampa than what you had for
That's
Hart.
Fine.
That's just, once again, my preference. I do like the taller corner based on the need for the Giants. I mean, Sansra Still, you're talking about a slot guy.
He is
so
a slot only.
I don't know if the Giants are in a position where they can have that luxurious pick, I guess I would put it, where you're just taking a guy on the inside.
You know who lines up in the slot a lot? CeeDee Lamb.
No, yeah. Well, from a division standpoint.
You know who lines up in the slot a lot? Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown.
No, without a doubt.
Understood.
But, I mean, they are going to be playing a lot of other teams, 11 to be exact, outside of the
right,
NFC.
Who also, a lot of them line up the best receiver in the slot.
Well, but you always could use a taller guy
you can.
On the edge
absolutely.
To make contested plays and so forth.
I would go T.J. Tampa over Hart myself. I have Tampa one round higher than Hart.
Well, listen, two out of three here, then we should go Tampa.
Then?
I think it's only fair based on the math.
Okay.
You know, three people at the table, two want one guy, you go with the guy.
I would not strongly object to your guy.
No, listen, I'm not going to lose sleep tonight. Trust me. I'm going to sleep fine. The pillow's going to be comfortable. I can promise you.
I will
live to wake up on Saturday morning.
All right.
Yes.
We're going to go TJ Tampa to the Giants at pick number 47 at 1:30 on the frickin' dot, Pearson. How do you like that?
Hey.
Not too bad. All right, overall, guys, your thoughts on how this broke down in terms draft-wise and for the Giants, and do you think this second round pick will be this tough to sort through at 47. This is why, by the way, it stinks losing that first second round pick, which the Giants traded to the Panthers, which would have been a 39, because I think you would have had some guys in there that would have made this, like a Braden Fisk, that maybe would have made
this
decision a little
bit would have been easier. Much more difficult.
Yeah, because you would have had more options in different positions.
I think it's easier, because I think you would have had a guy higher on your board available, and you would have been able to pick that guy.
That would be true, but the flip side to that is you would have also had more guys, which would have meant sorting through more, too.
That's true,
Well, because I think you would have had more positions to
beat
with.
If you guys didn't go corner, what would have been your second choice there?
Right there?
I probably would have considered defensive line.
I agree.
Some of the guys that, like, Sweat to me would have been heavy consideration, even though maybe there's a little bit of a duplication
too
there.
Too early for running back for both
of
them.
Yes. I can't wrap my head around the running back.
Yes.
Yeah, because I like the potential of Dane Belton. You know, I'm not willing to.
You guys. I would not go safety or running back.
And I don't think the safety crop is worth that much, John.
I agree.
You could really go outside of Newbury.
I agree.
Bullard's not there for me.
I agree.
Yeah, and they also, they have some young options at running back. Yes. They have some young options at running back. I mean, I like, you know, Jaylen Warren, who we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I would consider him, but I don't know. I still think it may be pushing
Jaylen Wright.
Jaylen Wright, I'm sorry.
That's funny.
I had Warren because of the Steelers in my mind.
I interviewed Charles Davis for the Giants huddle yesterday. It's airing next week. He called him Jaylen Warren in the
interview because once again, it's the Pittsburgh.
Which is really funny.
That's what it is. You got the Steelers in the head, and you can't all of a sudden ring it out. So that's the rationale. But I just, a little too rich for me maybe at running back at that point.
Yeah, I agree.
I would think my generic comment on this, and one of the reasons why it went so fast for us, is because, as we've been talking about since the combine, is that this is a top-heavy draft.
It's a really good top
of the draft. It's a very good top of the draft.
Like we got to pick, I think, 36, and we were all still feeling, maybe even 38, and we were still feeling really good about the guys that were left on the board.
And that's goes according to the logic that we were told, John, out in Indianapolis. You know, the first four rounds of this draft, there's a lot of stuff, but then it goes off like a cliff. And then next year's draft is going to have more stuff in it because of the guys coming off of the COVID and NILs.
Deeper, but not as heavy at
the
top.
Exactly.
So I think that'll be interesting.
There'll be more down the line.
Gentlemen.
So anyway.
This was fun.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good.
And we'll see if we do another one of these week of the draft. We'll see how that goes, folks. But next week, it'll be our final week of prospect interviews from the different schools. We only have a couple days left, so stay tuned for that. Then we'll start getting your calls in, getting your take on what the Giants should do in the draft, and maybe mix in a draft expert or two along the way. Don't forget, go check out the Giants Huddle podcast, folks. A lot of good stuff up there right now. I believe right now it's Thomas Dimitrioff and Matt Manicharian. Matt is a former NFL scout. He also now runs Sports Info Systems NFL division, football division, which basically, so it's kind of an analytical and scout version of the draft, which is fun.
And then Feldman should be up.
And Bruce Feldman, who covers college football. Thank you, Bruce, does a great job. He puts up one mock draft every year. But the best part of it, it's not even, you don't even care who he gives players to. For every one of his selections, he has three or four quotes from opposing coaches that went against the players in college in there. Talking about the player. So that's a lot of fun because you really get an idea of what their opponents in college thought about the guys. So I think it gives you an additional insight to what you normally get with some of these mock drafts. You got Feldman, Thomas Dimitrioff, obviously former NFL GM. He talked about kind of how you're setting up your trades right now and how you're working your draft meetings. And I think it's an interesting GM's perspective on the draft. Again, go check out the Giants Huddle podcast and draft season with Tony Pauline as well. The most recent episode is up. It is our top 10 rankings on offense. We do defense next week. So stay tuned to all of our coverage heading up to the draft, folks. A lot of good stuff coming your way. And, of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live remains every weekday live at 12:30 right here on Giants.com and the Giants mobile app. The archives can be found on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube. Just search for Big Blue Kickoff Live. For Paul, for Lance, I'm Schmelk. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live, presented by Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Football Giants. We'll see you next time, everybody.